Happy Lord's Day. If you have not done so, would you please place your cell phones on silent as we have today's lesson? What a glorious day the Lord has made. We are indeed fortunate to be part of it. In our scripture reading, in Joshua 24, 14 through 15, the question was asked, whom will you serve? That question needs to be asked today of God's children. Whom will you serve? We need to be reminded, as it's stated in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, and I'll be reading from the New International Version, where it states, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to understand that there is no other source that is relevant to our spiritual Christian walk than the scriptures. Nothing. If you don't read it, you're not getting it. You're missing the point. And that's why we need to be reminded that the word itself says it is profitable. It is profitable. That means for us. Don't be like the person who wants to do better for themselves. And they know they need to do better for themselves because the doctor just told them, you need to lose a few pounds. You've got to. For your well-being. Probably some of us have been there. We know how important that and relevant that is. But don't be the person who says, okay, my course of action is I'm going to go buy an exercise bicycle and I'm going to put it in the living room and I'm going to use it. But it sits there collecting what? Dust. Because you have not the commitment. You have not the passion. You have not the desire. You do not understand that it takes effort on your part to be profitable in your well-being. It's easy for us to go to the college, to go to the school, to go to our trade, learn our trade, learn our college, learn our studies, because we know that it'll profit us. But do we expend anywhere near the amount of energy and enthusiasm in reading the scriptures? That, and only that, is going to profit us in the long term. Believe you me. Believe the word. Eternity is a very long time. The short life that we are given, even Methuselah, for the many years that he lived, compared to eternity, let's get real. We need to get real. We need to understand that it does matter. Scripture needs to be read. Reread and not rewritten. There are far too many people who will rely on what some other person said about God's word without never, ever reading the word themselves. How would you know what's right or wrong? How do you know that they're not misleading you? You won't. Until you read it yourself. And it's not going to happen by osmosis. Again, back to my example, when you're going to school trying to be a teacher, you're trying to be a carpenter, you're trying to be a civil engineer, guess what? We could ask Tom. It never happens by osmosis. No matter how bad he wants it to be, It's not going to happen until what? He puts in the effort. He puts in the study. We know that to be true. Do not discount that in your Christian walk. That is the same principle. The truth that we need to read and to be educated on is right here. We have it. We're blessed for it. Shame on us if we don't read it. Shame on us. God loves us that He made sure that we would have the guidance necessary to get to Him, to do what would please Him. It's here. How beautiful is that? And you know how important it is that we have the need for instructions. Strawberry sponge cake is not going to happen unless what? You read the instructions and put it together in the right measurements, in the right process, with the right temperature, for the right... You get the point. How are we going to be that kind of Christian that God will be pleased if we don't follow the instructions? And you've heard it before, the Bible, the name we term the Bible, Holy Scripture. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Read it. Don't be like the person, like most men, putting together something, and they finally get to the point where they're so frustrated that I better go find the instructions. How about that? Do we find ourselves that way in our spiritual walk? We get at a point where we are so frustrated, so lost, so confused, disheartened, that finally you throw up your hands and say, I need to go to Scripture. See what needs to be done. The Book of Life, as it's been called. It is what Christians should do. Is what every Christian needs to do. You need to be reminded, because if you haven't been doing it, then you haven't been getting it. All we've been doing is just been listening to the words and not applying it to our lives. It's like that exercise bicycle in the corner is gathering dust. Is your life like that? Is your spiritual walk like that? And again, if it's been more than a day since you had your last scripture reading, then it's been too long. For in reading the scripture, we are blessed in discovering God's guidance, His direction, His wondrous mysteries, our purpose for serving Him and in pleasing Him. And in reading His word, it will help us to comprehend who our Creator is. Our Creator. He knew you in the womb. He knew the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, what you're going to do with that hair. He knew. He knows. He's our Creator. He knows your thoughts right now, what you've been thinking, what you've been doing. There's no secret from God. None. Don't be fooled. Nothing is hidden from our Creator. When we read and reread, we may start to get a deeper insight and clearer understanding on a more meaningful and personal level of who is the only sovereign God. When we do that, Lord willing, and through our efforts, with His help and blessings, mind you, we can fan that flame of passion of how we need to love Him with great exuberance, great love, exciting, knowing that He is our Creator, that we are excited because He is our Creator. And again, since we last gathered together, several questions are needing to be asked. How is your prayer life? Is it something that you're doing consistently? Is it something that you're doing with meaning? Are you praying for the Lord's church here and around the world? Are you praying for each other, for all of us here, all the brethren, sisters? Is your prayer life more substantial? Is your prayer life more mature now than it was last week? Lord willing, we hope we answer yes. That you've taken the time to improve your prayer life. It's a personal time between you and God, one-on-one. We need that. He needs us to do that. It's, again, to our benefit. Again, also, what have you been filling your spirit with lately? Since the last time that we've been together. Has it been filled with the good stuff? For example, His Word. And here's more good stuff for your spirit and for yourself. Have you been filling yourself with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness? And I know all of us could use more of this, self-control. But again, it is an action we must do for ourselves, to benefit ourselves. Don't leave it like the exercise bicycle in the corner. Do you give Christ, our Savior, the highest honor? Do you? Again, there's no secrets from God. But this needs to be asked. Do you give Him the highest regard? Do you give Him the best of your life? Is He first in all that you do in your life for Him? Is He first? Or is it like we mentioned when we were in class, you only come to Him after you get yourself in trouble? He is there, of course, because He's loving. But again, in our spiritual walk, we should know better by now is to ask what His will is for us. Another aspect of a Christian life that we find in Scripture is answering one of the simplest of questions that has one of the highest of implications. And the result of your answer will have far-reaching implications that will last for eternity. When Christ asks all of us, "Are you with me or against me?" So what is it going to be? When Christ asks, "Are you with me or against me?" Seems the answer should rather be plain, meaning no contingencies should be stated. Your giving required answer is not conditional, but rather it should be straightforward. In Matthew 7, verse 37, when Christ is talking about oaths and what we should say, He states simply, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." So your reply should be either yes, I am with you, Jesus, my Lord. Or, well then, by default, you're not with Him. If you find yourself answering in the affirmative, does your life reflect it? Do your thoughts reflect that you are for Him, with Him? Or are they just a passing thought when you walk by in the living room and see that exercise bicycle there? Just a passing thought. Do your thoughts reflect on him constantly? Do your ambitions desire to follow him? Do you have your love centered on him and him only? Do you truly know what righteous, wholesome, and pure love is? Do you care? Does it matter? Let's consider what is written in Scripture in the Book of Life. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Yes, you've heard it before. I can see you're thinking those thoughts. You've heard it before. But the question is, the real question is, do you believe it? There are too many so-called followers of Christ, Christians, that somehow find it hard to conceive or even believe that Jesus Christ would speak such things. Isn't he known for his love? Yes, he is. And know that it is a righteous and holy love. One would know that only if they were set aside time to read the Scriptures. Worldly love is conditional. They would say, take me as I am, sin-stained and evil, into your house, Lord. May it never be. Come to Christ as one made clean and washed so you may live your life anew with him by his blood. His blood cleanses us from sins so we can approach him because he is holy. Holy. There is no sin in him. We are washed by his blood and follow his commandments and his precepts and do what is holy to God. Know this for certain. Christ did in fact speak those words. Then he will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let's understand and appreciate the admonishment that he is giving to all of us because of his great love for his children. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. Where it states, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world of evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective, unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. We have our responsibilities. We need to get busy. We cannot think or should ever entertain the thought that just because we become His, that we do nothing. That God will take me as I am doing nothing. We've read and read and reread. That is not acceptable to God. He has given every one of us wonderful gifts and talents. Everyone. It's not His fault that you find far too easy of an excuse not to use them for His glory. And when we don't do that, we do that to His shame, for our shame. If it's to be able to sing, sing. If you're able to encourage, encourage. God has given every one of us the ability to pray. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray for His kingdom. Pray for each and every one of us. Goodness knows we need it. We need it. Pray for our country, our leaders, our servicemen. There's so much to pray for. And if it's working in the building, God has blessed you with that. Find pleasure in that. There's a lot of rooms in here that need help. Adopt one. Sponsored by God. Done by you for His glory. God has given us responsibilities. All of us. Luke 12 and verse 40. Luke 12, verse 40. Where it states, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." Brothers, sisters, that's gospel. It is true. It's going to happen. Now, it's been said, and again, it's been said in a way to reflect. It's been said in a way to encourage. It's also been said in a way to admonish. When I tell my brothers and sisters, and everyone I have an opportunity to say it to, we are one day closer. Because that is the truth. And it is with great anticipation for those who love the Lord are eagerly wanting to see that. It'll be a beautiful day. What I would consider the great homecoming. And it'll be grand. Off the hook. But we must be ready. That's our responsibility. We've got to be ready. And I guess it's hard for civilian Christians, if I could use that word, to understand what readiness means coming from a combat soldier. We understand what readiness means. We understand what it takes. We understand to be on guard. We understand to listen for the things that are out of place, to see things that are out of place. You finally get yourself in a state as you condition yourself to always be aware. Situational awareness is what we called it. And we have to be that way within this world, because the evil one is out there. It's in your home. As soon as you turn on that TV and you're watching things that you should not be watching, You let it in. Again, be prepared. Mark 13, verse 32 and 34. Mark 13, 32 and 34. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So again, let's be on guard, be alert. And if you do not do these things, it will be too late at the homecoming. A marvelous day of rejoicing and jubilation when the Son of Man returns. And yes, for some, there will be shock and great fear and trembling when they learn that there is a God. Not believing that He has always been, but now it's too late when He comes home. Yes, it's too late. The door is closed. Adios. Goodbye. Hasta la vista. But no sadder words can be said by our own Christ Jesus our Lord. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Our lives should be lived so that we become more and more wise with God's wisdom. And how do we do that? How do we get that? God's wisdom? By reading His Word. Dwell on His Word. Absorb the meaning. Seems that if you love Him, we would want to read His Word. Thirst for His Word. Long for His Word. The Word that was written through the Holy Spirit for His children. Those He died for. That's us. Who wear His name, Christian. And also pray. Yes, it matters. And those who are His, pray as it does matter. Pray seeking God's direction and making good choices that will help you move forward in becoming the person God desires of you. All of us need to seek God's wisdom and using our time wisely and being purposeful in reaching our full Christian potential. In becoming Christ-like and serving God with our whole being. That means that we will become more like Him so that God and those around us will see improvements in the way we treat others and in the choices we make. It will help us from being ineffective and unproductive. Yes, that requires work, change, effort on your part. Being stagnant should never be an option. If you want better, do better. Seems easy enough. Let our light shine. When God teaches us wisdom, we can be confident that He is working in our lives and is pleased with our service. Does the story of the one talent man stir you to do something? To do anything that will please the Lord in your spiritual walk with Him, for Him? One cannot stay stagnant or stay as they were as on the first day that when they became His. All of us are expected to grow spiritually with purpose to serve Him for His glory, not ours. We are to serve Christ, the Lord above all lords, not expecting that we should be served by our Savior. Luke 17, 1 through 10. Luke 17, 1 through 10. Jesus said to His disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were supposed to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. When are we going to realize and celebrate the fact that our Savior has provided everything that we need? Everything. Every day. He has provided the best. He has given us his best so that his children are truly blessed. He is the best. He is at his throne of glory, waiting for the coming day, the great homecoming for those who are his. Let's read about that upcoming event. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And the Son of Man comes in his glory. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, a stranger, and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will all answer, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. They will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Again, when we read the scriptures, we can't help but notice action, action, doing something. And a lot of these things in and of themselves seems easy enough. We should all be able to do that. Granted, in different measures, but we should all be able to do that. So we are without excuse. When we have the opportunity to go visit someone who is ill, go visit. You feel like, well, you can't do that, then those who love the Lord will find a way to do something rather than nothing. Mail a card of encouragement. Do better at texting. Phone call. Something. Everyone in here of God's people needs encouragement of one kind or another. Uplifting of one kind or another. We all need it. And all of us are responsible for each other. Again, what does the Lord say? When you do it for the least of these. And brothers and sisters, I'd say none of us should ever consider ourselves least in any category unless it's your efforts. Because when Christ died for all of us, and when he shed his precious blood for all of us, at that moment, when we put him on in baptism, we have become priceless in his eyes. We are all priceless. Again, some of us have heard the saying or the phrase GOAT. It's an acronym, usually used in sports or other events, meaning greatest of all time. Well, in the scripture we just read, being a goat is not a good thing. But what we should be careful of and be aware of is how sin works and tries to separate you from doing good, from being a servant of the Lord. For example, here's just one of many ways that sin gets in the way because we allow it. If we are not careful, we got to be careful because we make the choice. You make the conscious decision. Are you more excited about a sports game than you are about being with God's people around the Lord's table? Are you excited about being with God? Do you look forward to that? Remember, Scripture states in Matthew 18 and 20, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Would you rather be in front of a TV set or in a stadium or with Christ Jesus? Seems the answer is easy enough. Do you talk up more of the upcoming game rather than the upcoming celebration of the Lord's table? Can you quote stats more than you can quote scripture? Do you know the rules of the game better than you know the Beatitudes? You get the picture. Hebrews 10:25 states, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." When we were in Texas, at a worship in Texas, the sermon portion of the service was about to begin, when a sister in Christ told the preacher not to go over too long because it was the day of the Super Bowl, and she did not want to miss the start. This happened. We all knew where her mindset was. We all knew where her heart was at that moment. And assuredly, God knew how important he mattered to her at that moment. I'm just using that to help us not fall into that sin, into discounting God. And putting something else in front of him in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be sports, but anything that you would put in front of our Lord. You have to make that. You will give an account for that. All of us. That you felt that this was more important than going to worship. Even when we were on vacation, we are still Christians. Is the blood not still covering us? No matter where we go, we find ourselves. So, quote unquote, if we're on vacation, you are not vacating your responsibilities to the Lord, meeting with the brethren. So it's a different congregation. That's a blessing. We, again, for those who travel around the country, that is a blessing. A wonderful opportunity to meet our fellow brothers and sisters worldwide and to know that we serve the same God. So you make it a point not to miss this event. Even if you're home alone, we need to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because even while we're ill, if we have the ability, will we not show Him great respect and honor? And even in our physical weakness and illness, we will still serve the Lord. And how do we do that? Remembering that sacrifice. Celebrating this gift that He gave us right here. You prepare for it. You plan for it. You look forward to it. How many of us are going to skip Thanksgiving? Think? Sure, no one. They already probably planned for it already. But this has everlasting repercussions for everyone. Do we think worldly thoughts when we are at worship? Are we letting sin creeping in into the Lord's worship by thinking worldly things? For example, what's for dinner? I pray that the line is not too long. I'm going to miss the start of the game. Will I get that promotion? Are you letting worldly thoughts come in to the Lord's service, to His worship? The good news is that as long as the Lord gives us another breath, another moment, another day, then we have the opportunity to finish strong. And may we be able to state, like Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, where it states, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but all who have longed for His appearing. Have you stopped running the race because you feel old? You feel like you're incapable? Because you have no desire? Do you somehow feel that running the race is left for the younger ones? Look around. How many is left around here to do the Lord's work? Brothers and sisters, that's all of us. All of us are here to do the Lord's work. We must keep running, giving all that we can, even up to our last breath. Because Christ Jesus gave His all, and He didn't hold back. Again, in Luke 22, verse 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. When He said this, He gave up His last. Can we say the same thing when our time has come? Can we muster strength, courage, faith? Faith that we can have endurance to the end. As we see the time approaching, sprint, my brothers and sisters. Sprint. Sprint into the armor of the righteous one. The one who made it all possible. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, the King. He has His arms wide open to receive you. And again, in Ephesians 6:10 through 19, it states, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for the Lord's church. Pray for each other. Pray for me. The Lord's invitation is available, and we must hear His word, Romans 10, 14 through 17. We must believe His word, John 20, verse 30 through 31. We must repent of our sins. That means changing our ways. Luke 13, 3 through 5, and others. Must confess Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32, Acts 8, 37. Be baptized, buried with Christ, Mark 16, 15 through 16. And then we must live for Him. The invitation is open for all. Let's stand together and sing.